many of you registered? You guys have not registered yet? Do you know who Mark Scirona is? Who knows Mark Scirona? Okay, you guys are young generation. Well, I'll tell you, he is one of the big voices, well, probably for older generation as me. Those back in my youth days when we didn't have any YouTube or internet, and the only, I would say, if you want to listen to the preaching or to the Word of God outside of your church, we watch TBN. Does anybody know what TBN is? I feel so old here. You guys, TBN. So Mark Scirona, back in the day, I mean, he was one of the big voices. Just research him. He was always on fire. And he is so prophetic. And what I love about Mark Scirona is that he's one of those generals who've been like going strong. Do you know how many ministries and ministers got exposed during, you know, their time of ministry? And unfortunately, not everybody made it to the end with honor, with integrity, with transparency. And this is so sad. So Mark Scirona, he's one of those generals who's been, you know, just moving solid in the word of faith, in the prophetic. So he's like a father of the word of faith and like the prophecy. So I really encourage you guys to sign up with this prophetic lab. I mean, you will not regret it. There's so much, you know, you can learn from him. Okay. We're just going to go back to the, we will go back to the word. First, I want to welcome everybody. I just want to say hi to my spiritual family. I'm really excited to see you all tonight. Actually, it's not tonight yet, today. You could have been on the beach, you could have been doing other things, but you chose to come to the house of God and, you know, stay in the place of worship. And as a sacrifice, you brought this for him. And I know God honors that and he really enjoys it. But I want to share about, my topic will be called Four Measures of the Spirit. So we will do some digging in the Word. I love studying the Word. There's so much treasure that you can uncover from there. There's so much truth and like this nuggets of wisdom, nuggets of gold. Nothing can direct you better than the Word of God. And I will be speaking from the book of Ezekiel. Anybody familiar with that book of Ezekiel? Anybody read the book of Ezekiel in the Bible? What's the most famous scripture from the book of Ezekiel? Somebody knows. Who can tell me the passage or... Which one? Who knows about the Valley of the Dry Bones? When the Spirit of God was moving and he told Ezekiel, speak into these dry bones, and he saw the army rising up. So this is in the book of Ezekiel. And this is one of my favorite books because I was having my own experiences with God, with the glory, with the throne room. And what Ezekiel had, it just resembles so much what I've been experiencing. And a lot of times when I would see something in the spirit or experience something in the spirit, and I was like, Lord, I need confirmation for that. Like, where is it in the Bible? Because I always like align everything with the Word of God. Where is it in the Bible? If it's not in the Bible, I will not even trust my own revelation, or I will not trust my own spiritual experiences if it's not confirmed in the Bible. And book of Ezekiel had so much confirmations for me. That like, yeah, this is me, this was my voice, or this is my move, this is me. So I can relate a lot to book of Ezekiel. And today we will go to chapter 47, where Ezekiel was in another vision. You probably read about it, where the angel was measuring the cubits of water, remember, and the level would change from low to high, like to mid to high. So we will go and we will uncover what it means. And it's really four measures of the Spirit. You know that Spirit is unmeasurable. There's no limitations in the Spirit. You cannot measure the Spirit of God. But the only one who can put a limit on the Spirit of God, it's us. Every time, like at every stage of your life, at every season of your life, he always pulls you deeper. He invites you to go to discover him, But a lot of times we're just so stubborn. We're so occupied with other things and we're so busy, or we just refuse to let go of something that separates us from God. And then we just like walk in this enchanted circle and we cannot get out of it. So today we will go, we will just explore all four measures of the Spirit, and I'm sure you will find yourself at one of them. Okay, so we will do this diagnosis. We will like dissect it. You will dissect yourself and you see where you're at. And you will see maybe how far you have to go or where do you still have to go, okay? You know, Jesus was speaking a lot about the water. He always called people, come to me and drink from me. I'm the source of living water. And if you remember in John 7 and 37, I want to do this passage because when I read from the Old Testament, I always like to draw parallel from the New Testament. Remember, I always told you, like, Old Testament speaks about Jesus. Every page of Old Testament confirms Jesus, prophesies about Jesus. I see Jesus in every page of Old Testament. So I love all of those testaments, okay? So, and John 7:37, since we will be speaking about the water, about the river, and Jesus also was talking about it. In chapter 7, verse 37 from John, it says, then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted out to the crowds, all you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me, so the rivers of the living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like Scripture says. So the vision of Jesus for you, not just to be carriers of these living waters and benefit yourself from it, but Jesus' vision for you for that water, when it just fills you up so much that the Spirit starts bursting out of you. So it will start like changing things around you, impacting things around you. So it's not only for you, okay? So, and we will go to Ezekiel. So we will dissect, there will be five verses, so we'll dissect each verse. Let's see. So Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. I will try to be as fast as I can today because I know it's a beautiful day and I don't want to hold you here for too long, but I want to bring my main point so you guys will be pulled. So I just pray that during this word, the Holy Spirit activates this new hunger in you, this new thirst for Him in you, like this new desire to really just to leave everything behind that you can, just to have more of Him. So you can take that invitation today, whichever level you are at, so you can go deeper, so you can go after your spirit until He takes over, so you don't belong to yourself anymore. So this is my prayer for you today, okay? So Ezekiel chapter 47. Verse 1, so the vision of Ezekiel starts with this. Then the shining man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw the water flowing from underneath the temple threshold. It was flowing eastward because the temple was facing east. Water was trickling out from the south side of the temple, south of the altar. So let's just stop right here. Let's just dissect what we read, okay? Just bring some clarity. So first of all, Ezekiel says the temple. So I just want to stay on this, on the temple a little bit, you know? Ezekiel was seeing the physical temple, but that was the prototype of the spiritual temple that God was creating for Himself. So after resurrections of Jesus, we became His temple. We became that container. I would say container that is the purpose is to carry the glory of God. Remember how the glory of God, it used to live in the Ark of the Covenant? Remember? And then when Jesus died on a cross, it was transferred into us. So this is why actually archaeologists and scientists, they still cannot retrieve they cannot find the Ark of the Covenant till this day, because I know God strategically hid it, and he hid it. So because he's like, no more, because I'm not there anymore. I am in my children. I am in my bride. This is the my place where I live and dwell. And you know, this is why we don't have purpose outside of the God. We were created empty containers. I'm empty container. You're empty container. It's like the glove. Without hand, glove is useless. It cannot do anything much. But when you put your hand through the glove, now glove lives to its purpose, what it's created for. So same thing with us. And I've been hearing so many testimonies how people will even, they were achieving like financial success, the fame, popularity, huge platforms. But in the end, that did not make them happy. They still had the void. They just like, I was losing the purpose of my life. I had like millions of followers. I have like millions of like, I have like people who wanted invested in like into me. And with all this money, I still like, there's something missing. I'm unhappy. I'm depressed. I don't want to live. So we are not created to be empty. We're not created to have a purpose without God. So we are the temple. So this is what Ezekiel sees. He sees physical temple, but this is the prophecy of us. Okay. And then he says, and I saw water flowing from the underneath the temple, and the temple, which was like important detail, it was flowing eastward because temple faced the east. And if you read the scripture, and like I said, I'm like a nerd when it comes like digging out and what every symbol, what it means, and I need to find a lot of confirmations. If you start scrolling and reading the Bible, you will see a lot of references where the gates faced were like east, or the temple faced east, or people when they had to enter the tabernacle of Moses to encounter, like, you know, to go to the outer court, they all have to go through the east. So east, it had like very significant meaning. And this temple, it was also facing east, okay? And I'll tell you what it means. If you read earlier, Ezekiel in chapter 8 and 11, it talks about because of people fell astray from the God, and it talks how the glory was departed from the temple, and the glory heads east to Mountain of Olives, and then it ascends to heaven. So glory was taken away from people because they fell into idol worshiping, and so the glory of God was lifted up, and it was heading east, and then it ascended from Mountain of Olives. And what is interesting, when he got resurrected of his resurrection day, and after when he was ascending to heaven, Jesus was ascending from the Mountain of Olives as well, which was on the east side of the Jerusalem. So it was like a prophecy of glory was ascending to heaven in the same place where Jesus was ascending. And then But then if you read Ezekiel chapter 43 and 44, and in book of Isaiah, it says how the glory also be returning the same way from the east side of Mount Olive, from the east side of Jerusalem. So the glory will be returned. It will coming back. So Islamic leaders, they read those prophecies. And in 1500s, like 16th century, in 1500, what they did, They sealed up those gates, the east gates, where Jesus supposed, the Messiah supposed to return, according to the prophecies. So they sealed up with a brick wall, so Messiah would not return back to his temple and to his nation. And it's actually still sealed up till this day. So for centuries, those gates are still sealed up. If you've been to Jerusalem, to Israel, or if you've seen some documentary, it's still sealed up till this day. So they think it will prevent Jesus coming back to his temple and to take his rightful places, which, like, it's impossible for Jesus, right? But they did not realize that actually the spirit of Jesus, which is Holy Spirit, he was poured out on earth. He already was, Jesus was in the form of his Holy Spirit. He returned to earth and he was given to all of his believers, okay? And I know Jesus will still come and Messiah is still coming and it will not stop him. So, East, why am I speaking? Because East represents the glory. East represents the heavenly realm. East represents the throne of God, the throne room of God, the glory of God. So it's very important that temple that Ezekiel saw, it was facing east, which means we as the temples of God, we have to make sure whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing in your life, you have to face the throne room. You have to have focus on him, okay? This is what we were created for, okay? We're going to be moving. So in verse 2 and 3, so Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 2 and 3. Then it says, then the angel that he took me by the north gate and led me around the outside of the gate that faces the east. And there I saw the water flowing on the right-hand side, south of the gateway. The man holding his measuring line walked east and measured 1,000 cubits. Then he made me wade across the shallow water, and it was ankle deep. So now we see the water coming into the temple, that living water, right? The Spirit of God starts filling up the temple. But first, he sees it's an ankle deep, and it's shallow. So basically here, we actually come to the first level of knowledge of God. Like when we come to know God, we just all, you know what we do? We just like taste the water. So we just like put our like toes in the water. We just taste, because Bible says, oh, come and taste how good I am. It means God is calling those who never tasted him before. Okay? Have you ever been to those like maybe farmer markets when they do like oil, like tasting, oil and vinegar tasting? Why do you go for tasting, because you want to try something different, something new that you've never tried before, right? You want to taste this, you want to taste that, and then you pay this like ridiculous money for this oil that does not cost so much because, oh my goodness, I haven't tried this before, so I want to get it, and you keep buying that. So this is why Lord calling to those who never experienced, this is the first encounter with God, come and taste how good I am. So you just starting putting your toes in the water, just getting familiar with his character, with who he is. And do you know also what ankles represent in the spirit? Because ankles, this is what enemy held like in shackles. This is where our shackles used to be. Remember, before our deliverance, when we were in our addictions or bondages, this is where shackles usually placed to restrain you from moving, restrain you from walking, right? The hands, so you don't do the work of God. And ankles, this is where enemy keeps you like bonded. So once you get to know God, the first step you go through is usually deliverance, right? We see it on encounters all the time, and people come for deliverance, for healing, the bondages are breaking off. So their ankles finally get free, and they can, you know, make the first step into the water to taste the goodness of God. And, you know, God does not tell his bride, oh, come and taste how good I am, because the bride knows. His children, they know how good he is. This is why we keep coming back and coming back and coming back, and nothing can satisfy us. So the ankle represents, it's like the beginner, the first step, you know, getting to know God. But this is the level where, this is the level when you don't see a lot of dedication yet. A lot of times people would come to God just like because of their spiritual age, just to get something out of him. Oh Lord, just bless me, or give me breakthrough, give me healing, give me this, give me that, bless me with this, bless me with that. And God, yes, he does that. But then he does not want you to stay on the shallow level. Even in Ezekiel, it says this is the shallow level. It's just the first level when you're just tasting who he is. Just tasting the first leek fruit of deliverance. But he wants you to go deeper. And we're going to go to verse 4. The second part of it. And it says, the angel measured off another 1,000 cubits and told me to wade across the stream again. And now the water was up to my knees. So he took the coal and he is going deeper, okay? I just want to talk about knees. What does knees represent? So knees, do you know, remember how Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. So the knee represents your obedience, submission to him. You come into, so finally, when you taste how good he is and you want to get more of him, now Holy Spirit pulling you into the next level. Like now, I'm going to start giving you instructions. What do you need to do to go deeper into me? Okay? It could be different things. Maybe he will tell you, hey, you need to start fasting. Or maybe you need to pray in tongues for so much every day to build up your spirit, to make you strong. Or maybe he will tell you, hey, I want you to bless somebody with so much amount of money. Wherever that is, Holy Spirit, because you already grew enough or stepped into certain level of maturity, then now he's actually start asking you doing something or giving you instructions. And here I will tell you, your flesh will fight, because flesh hates to die, because every step of obedience will bring you closer to Christ. Every step of obedience will make another part of your flesh like die, and where it's just losing like hold of you, when it cannot dictate you its desires anymore. So you're not driven by desires of the flesh anymore. So obedience, it's very, very important. So this is what the knee's for. This is the level where you learn discipline, because here you understand that the prayer life and reading the word, it's not an optional anymore. It's your necessity. Without it, you are an open target for the enemy. Okay, like without prayer life, you are open for all kind of attacks where enemy comes and he just robs you off and he takes whatever he wants, because there is no protection around you. There is no fire of God around you. So you're just open target for him. So you understand to not just survive, but to live. I have to have my prayer life. I have to read the word. You're not driven by feelings or emotions anymore. It's not like, oh, today I feel hungry for God. I feel fire of God. I will go to my room and I will read because I feel presence. There will be days when you feel dry, when you don't feel anything, when you pray and you feel like maybe your prayer doesn't go anywhere. But this is where you start moving by faith, because, you know, I don't need to feel anything. Sometimes you just need to break through a wall of not feeling things like you used to feel. You know, sometimes a lot of people, like, they start panicking, like, I don't feel it anymore. I don't feel God. Like, this way I don't want to pray anymore, because every time I would come to my room and I start praying, I start feeling goosebumps. I start feeling fire going over me. But now I don't, or I start crying, or tears are rolling down my face. But then I don't feel it anymore. And people lose desire to pray, to read the word, and this is where enemy gets them again. So here you understand, I don't care if I feel it today, if I have a bad day, or if I have a good day. Prayer is my necessity. It's requirement, okay? This is where you come to the place of discipline. Oh, and believe me, Satan knows how to mess with your emotions. Oh, he will make everything for you to remove that desire to go to that room and pray. But then when you overcome that, when you just pray through that, you will see how, like, the new realm of, like, will open up for you. The new depth will be open up for you. Just do not allow enemy to steal that, like, perseverance from you, okay? So knees, it's also place of submission. After you say yes to the Lord, his spirit will start taking you deeper, and you will find yourself in the season of refining fire. Oh, how, like, people, they don't like the season. I've been through that season, and periodically I do go through that season and again, because this is the place where your heart gets stretched. This is where your heart gets formed into the image of God. Okay. And yes, the furnace is, it's not the pleasant place. But this is where you, again, this is where your flesh dies. This is where your ambition die. This is where everything that you want die. This is everything that you want to benefit for yourself. It will die over there. Okay. This is where you step into the place of humility when you say, not my will, but your will. Do you know how many people I saw, and I'm speaking about Christian people, like Christian girls even, when the guy that they loved so much broke up with her and she did not want to live anymore. And she was like swallowing those pills because she wanted to end her life. I personally been like working with that girl, and she's Christian. She's been in church all of her life. She was born in a Christian family, but just because the guy that she loved broke up with her, the life ended. That's it. She was mad at God because he took the love of her life from her. Or I've seen other people that if they pray for something and the prayers didn't get answered, they're like, you know what, God, like you don't love me. Why am I even wasting my time? Like, why am I living in poverty when I see like people around me who don't even serve you, who live double lives, and they are thriving financially, and here I am, like serving you, and I don't benefit from anything. I just like, can barely have my like ends meet, you know. And they's like, you know what? What's the point, you know? An enemy will always make sure to come and deceive you and tempt you to step out of the will of God. So this is what the furnace, that's what it does for you. It just burns out all of those selfishness, these like egocentric desires from you. Where like, you know, Lord, I don't have to be financially blessed. If you bless me, thank you. If not, it will not change my attitude towards you. I will still love you. Even if I don't get desires of my heart, if this is not your desire, just remove it from me, okay? There was one lady, and she was reading Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it says, and when she read the scripture, it says, for he will carry out, so he, Yahweh, he will carry out a purifying process. He will be like a refiner's fire or the launderer's bleach. He will be as a silversmith who sits refining and purifying silver. He will purify the Levites, refining his priests until they are like pure gold and fine silver. Then I, Yahweh, will have those who bring me offerings and righteousness. So you need to understand, and if you don't go through this process of purification, whatever you do for the Lord, your ministry, it will not even register with heaven. You have to, this is part of the price. If you want to go deeper, if you want to have weight on your ministry, on things that you do for the Lord, you will go through purifying fire. So one lady, she read that scripture, and she really wanted to go and see how it happens in person, how the silversmith, how he actually refines the silver. And well, first of all, do you know that silver in a natural state, it does not have silver color. It's like has like charcoal, a gray charcoal color. So if you don't know what it is, like if you don't, like you have to have like special, I guess, technology to even identify that silver, it just looks like another gray rock. You will not even understand it's a silver. So she asked silversmith to allow to watch the process of the purifying the silver. And as she watched him, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. So he explained to her that in refining silver, one needed to hold a piece in the middle of the fire where the flames are the hottest to burn all the impurities away. So whenever it hurts the most, whenever it feels like it's the most unjust, or maybe you are like somebody slandering you or gossiping about you, or you're going through betrayal, or you're going through like any kind of pain, whenever it like feels like feels the most painful, this is the place when impurities are being removed, okay? And all you have to do is just trust the process. Just trust God, like Lord, and just don't do anything. In times like that, when we went through the season of our lives, when we were slandered and we were being accused of things that we have never done, and Lord's like, nope, you need to keep your mouth shut. You cannot go and defend yourself. Because if you start defending yourself, this will be your battle. But if you keep your mouth shut, if you just stay quiet, I myself will fight for you, and I will show how things actually are. And that's exactly what happened. I was like, thanks, Lord. I was just like, you know, I was obedient enough like to do what you told me. And things just changed like so drastically. And the outcome was like shocking to me in a good way. I was like, Lord, only you can do this. So she kept watching him. He was holding the piece of that silver in the middle of the fire where the flames are the hottest to burn all the impurities away. The woman thought about God holding us in such hot spot. So she asked a silversmith if he has to sit in front of the fire the entire time while the silver is being refined. And silversmith said yes. So don't you ever think that you're going through this time by yourself. Sometimes it will feel like God is not there. It will feel like you are on your own and you pray and you cry out to heavens and heavens are quiet. Okay, don't you ever think, because Bible compares God as our refiner. So he is with you throughout the whole process, and he's not just with you. He's carefully watching you. He's not taking his eyes off you, okay? And then this happens. And the silversmith, he went on to explain that not only he has to sit here, but to keep a very close eye on it, because if it was left a moment too long, it will be damaged. This is why God is like so careful. He's watching you in the most painful time of your life. He will not allow you to go through more than you can handle, because his purpose is not to damage you, but to bring you to perfection, to remove all of those impurities that's still separating you from him and not allowing him to use you for his glory. Okay. And then the woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked, so when is silver finally refined? So he smiled and said, that's easy when I see my image in it. That's the whole purpose of the furnace, of the refining. Jesus wants to see his image in you, and then you can minister, then he can minister through you. Then your ambitions and ego will not step in and will not say, oh, it's by my anointing, but by my gifting, I can be successful, or I'm, you know, successful in ministry because of my personality, because of my achievements. You just get to this place of humility where you understand you are nothing without him. You cannot do anything outside of him. So don't you ever think or dare to think, no matter what gift you have, no matter how beautiful you are while ministering to the Lord and how many people are amused by your gift. Yes, we appreciate every gift that God gives us. And I believe it's very beautiful when every single person steps into that calling, into their identity, and start moving out of that. But don't you ever think it's yours. It's not yours. We don't have anything that is ours. It's all him. Any gift, any anointing, any gifting, it's all him. So, and you start understanding that after going through some, you know, painful things. And I remember in my seasons, like how painful it was. And I was like, Lord, when it's going to be over? I'm so tired of this. It's like, I feel like somebody just like there's hammer keeps smashing and smashing and smashing me. Like, Lord, there is nothing left for me. Like, I don't even want to do anything. I'm done with the ministry. I'm done with people. I'm done with everything. I just don't want anything. And God, of course, he would not bring me to the breaking point. But then now I'm looking back and I'm seeing what God achieved in me during that process. I was like, wow, if I had chance, I would go back to that time again, so it could produce what he produced in me after coming out of that season. So after you'll see the benefits of from your furnace and from your refining, you will start whenever that next season comes, and God will start stretching you on a new level, getting ready for you, making you ready for the new level. You will recognize it and you will welcome that season. Like, come on, Lord, let's do this, because I can't wait to see what will come out of me when I come out of this season. What other side of you will be reflecting on me when I come out of that season? So this is what he does. You will fall in love, actually, with going through the fire. Okay. So sometimes you might feel that the fire is too much to handle, but he's not. He is watching you, and he will not let you break, okay? So, Ezekiel 47, verse 4. So we keep moving. Verse 4. So angel measured another 1,000 cubits. Okay, before we go on, I just wanted to kind of go over what we kind of read. So he went to the knees now. We learn it's the place of submission, learning how to obey, going like to submit to his process, where he allowing him to purify, to get you ready for his glory, for him being used to you, okay? So the next season, or next stage, or next measure, I would say, Ezekiel 47, 4. So the angel measured off another 1,000 cubits and made me wade across the stream again, and the water was up to my waist. So he's going deeper. Have you noticed, like, when you just walk in the water, step into the water up to your ankles, how easy it is to navigate through the water? You can run, you can jump, you can walk fast. You can basically, you have full control over, right, your movement. So this is when you just having like shallow, like on like the beginner level of with God. So basically you are the one in control of your life. You are the one making major decisions, and it's all about, like I said, about chasing your dreams, things that will benefit you. But the deeper you go, have you noticed how harder it becomes, like moving, like especially when you're up to your waist in the water? It's like, try to run when you're up to the waist, or try to, you know, it will be very slow. You can't even walk fast. So the deeper you go, the more you just lose control of yourself. So the less things you control. And so the water is actually controlling you more and more. So the deeper we go into God, like the Holy Spirit just takes over more and more of you. Okay, so it's just less of you and more of him now. So let's talk about, what does waste represent? So he walks into the waste. So this is like water covers his loins. So loins, this is where reproductive organs are. So this is the season where you start birthing, or start seeing the fruit of your previous season, the fruit of your discipline with God, obedience with God, fruit of the season of purification. You actually start carrying the fruit of the Spirit in your life, okay? And because in Ephesians chapter 6:14, remember about the armor of God, and one of them talks about the belt. It says, put on the truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in the triumph. So this is the place where you start walking in your personal victory. You have noticed that this is the place where old, like, habits, or like old things that tried to pull you away from God, they lost their grip on you. So you are not led by your desires, like flesh desires of your previous season, because you've been spending time with God. You made him your necessity, your requirement. And now the flesh doesn't really dictate its like desires and will over you. So you actually start walking in the victory. This is the place which Isaiah speaks about in Isaiah 54:17. It says, no weapon formed against me the weapon formed against me shall not prosper. Because a lot of times we Christians, we quote that scripture, but for some reason, the weapon of the enemy always prosper for some reason. No matter how much you quote, no matter how much you speak it out loud, but it keeps being prosper. Why? Because again, people do not have a prayer life. They do not have, you know, they don't have the protection over like of prayer around them. So, but after obedience, after submission to the Lord, you see that the devil does not, he cannot touch you anymore. You becoming unreachable to him. This is why the fruits of the Spirit start manifesting in you. Okay? Because Jesus said, without me, you cannot do anything. Okay? And if you read the Old Testament, when in Old Testament with the priests of God, before, when they were getting ready to minister to the Lord, they would put on this like the sash around the waist, like the girdle around their like robe, which basically represented that they were set apart. They were consecrated and they were ready to minister unto the Lord. So the waist and the belt of truth is basically also represents that you've been sent apart. You've been making some decisions. You've been making some choices that made you different from everybody else. And you know, this is the stage when people start seeing that you are different. The way you react, the choices that you make. When God was calling me in that season of consecration, it's just like years back when I was young and single. And you know, these days, I would say it's easier to be set apart for the Lord, especially like in Slavic community. I guess we see a lot of like new young people rising up, like new these ministries, and actually to be the Christian on fire, it's actually really, it's really popular. It's really cool these days because there's a lot of like young Christians on fire. But back in the day when I was young, everybody pretty much lived like double life. So all youth that I knew, well, I hung out mostly with Slavic youth, all of them, they would just, you know, on Sunday, they would sit in church and, you know, sing in choir. And on Friday night, they were all in clubs, you know, drinking, getting high, you know, just like drinking alcohol, fighting, doing all of that stuff. And every time I would get invited to a certain wedding or to certain like celebration, like even family, a celebration, and they would all drink and they will do like all like unclean stuff, and I would not, because I know God is calling me to the lifestyle of holiness and being set apart, and I knew I cannot defile myself with the things of the world, and I would just not touch things that they would touch. And they, you know, and they would just get convicted. I would not even say a word to them. I would not preach them. I would not like being judgmental to them. I was just sitting there, just not doing things that they did. And they've been already convicted. And they're trying to like mock you because of that. Like, oh, you're so holy. Oh, you're so perfect. Are you trying to show us that you're better than us? So they just try to attack you. And I remember how you just had to sit through and you have to stand up for God, pretty much, for what you have inside of you, for the holiness that He placed in you. Okay, so people will start seeing that you are different. You have something on you that you're like not everybody else. Okay, so this is what the fruit of the Spirit will be seen on you, and this is comes again after season of dedication and being set apart and obeying to the Lord. But then, and this is basically when you start walking in the life of victory. But then, this is not all what Jesus wants for you. There is so much more. He still wants to take you deeper. Do you want to know what it is? This is not all. This is not finished. This is not culmination of His calling. There is so much more. So we will read. We'll continue verse 5 through 9. So, and this is where actually Holy Spirit, because see, even though you're like waist and also belt of truth, it also represents because you've been binded to the Word of God, you've been entwined to the Word of God. So this truth, it's actually lives in you now. You are the carrier of Spirit of truth. You also have a discernment of what is of His Spirit, what is not of His Spirit. So it will direct your life, okay? But then there's more. verse 5 through 9. So the angel measured off another 1,000. It was now a river over my head, which I was unable to swim across. It was deep, swollen river, a river no one could cross. The shining man said to me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he brought me back to the riverbank. When I got there, I was astonished to see an enormous number of trees on each side of the river. So he said, "The water flows east, down to Jordan Valley and to the Dead Sea. As it flows into stagnant waters, that water becomes fresh water. Wherever the river flows, all living creatures will live and thrive, and schools of fish will be very plentiful. For wherever the river goes, it brings the healing, and everything will come alive, and everything will come alive." Okay? So he took him to the next level of depth, where the river covered him all, and he would not feel bottom with his feet anymore. So basically, you're stepping into the lifestyle where you don't control anything anymore. So the river of Holy Spirit, his currency, his flow, it completely took over you. And you are not living by the mindset of this world. You start living from the heavenly perspective. You are given access to the heavenly realms to see from the throne room, to bring things from heaven to earth. Okay? It also says, and this river will flow into stagnant waters, that that water becomes fresh water. This is what Jesus was, when we read the scripture in the beginning, this is where Jesus wants to take us. The living water that we carry, it's not just for us. So you just don't get enjoy by the life, but he wants to take it outside. He wants to make the stagnant waters around you to be filled up with life and become fresh again. Okay? This is where the heaven is activated, not just in your personal life, but outside of you, to impact and influence your surroundings. This is where you're given access from the realm of the Spirit. This is where you step to a certain level of maturity that God starts trusting you heavenly resources. When you actually start living the life of supernatural, okay? I remember like this story just always amazes me. The story of when you actually look, like read from the book of Acts, and if you read, like, there was so much angelic activity back in the day, and it's like nobody even was shocked anymore. I know now we experience angelic activity, like in our spirit when we pray in the presence. Yes, we have like glimpses here and there, but at that time, angels were just like walking around them and nobody cared. Like, you know, things like crazy things happened and like nobody was shocked, especially the story when Philip, when he was walking and he was minding his own business and he saw eunuch driving by in the carriage, in the horse's chariot, and he was trying to read and understand the scriptures from Isaiah, a prophecy about Jesus, and he would not understand. And then Philip, remember, he like, "Would you like me to help you out?" And then he preached the gospel to the eunuch, and then the guy got baptized. And after Philip ministered, and it says the Spirit of God just transported him wherever he wanted to be. It's just like these things like were so normal and they were not like shocked about it. And I was like, "Lord, like where is it these days?" It's like church has lost something. But then Jesus said that in the last days, the outpour of the Spirit, he will even do more than we read about in Acts. Another story that really amazes me, I was always just brushing through when, remember in Acts chapter 19, verses 9, it said when revival would come to the city, in the book of Acts there, that people, number of people who practiced magic, they would bring the like their books of witchcraft, the magic books, they would bring and they would burn them publicly. And it said the worth of those books were like 50,000 silver coins. I was like, I want to know what is it in like in our today's dollars? How much, what was the value that they burned in public? And this is, you guys, this is what I discovered. I'm like, this is what happens when Spirit of God starts moving and when the river takes over. So 50,000 of silver, here is a conversion. So each one of those silver coins was worth a day's wages for a farm worker or other laborer. So the total was about $5.5 million. In today's money, I was like, how many magic books they had? How much witchcraft was going on in that city? And whenever I was reading the scripture, every time I would see our Seattle guys. I don't know, like, I believe that one day we will see these things happening. That I know, like, the Seattle is one of the, like, you know, cities where there's a lot of witchcraft and a lot of demonic activity going on. And I know God placed us here for a reason. Like, Lord, I want to see your river. I want to see your river moving and taking over the streets. I want to see our, you know, warlocks and witches, you know, burn those books publicly. $5 million, like, worth of books. Like, this is crazy. So, And I know, like, right now, if we look at the church as the global church, I know we are still in the stage where just waste, like deep, like with waste. Well, yes, where God is just cultivating our personal walks and he, you know, cultivating the fruits of the Spirit, teaching us how to walk in obedience and, you know, cultivate his presence, just go into his, you know, into your deeper into intimacy with him. But I know that time is coming where the living waters, they will be bursting out from the church. And I know the church is not going to be closed in these walls anymore. So whatever we cultivate here, and I know this season is very important. Just do not get discouraged by what you see, because sometimes it will feel like you pray and pray and pray and like things maybe are not happening like you're dreaming or how God was showing you. You know that we've been praying for transformation of our state and our city and our nation since 2002 or 2000. So for over 20 years, we keep praying and praying, and things God showed us at that time, some of them came to pass, some of them did not come to pass too. You know, once I was in my prayer time and Jesus came to me and he asked me, when I put a burden on your heart to pray and like intercess for this nation, for young people, will you agree to pray if you will not even walk into some of the things that you're praying for? Or will you agree to pray for certain things all of your life, even some of them you might not be even part of, but your next generation, your children or their children, they will be walking in them. But will you agree to pray? I was like... You know, when the presence of the Lord comes and when he just covers you with, showers you with his love, you will say yes to everything. Of course, Lord, I will pray. Even if I will not see maybe some of my prayers answered, I will continue to pray. So I know what we're doing here, what we're cultivating. We make the waters arise. The rivers of the Spirit, they keep rising up. They keep rising up. They keep rising up. And yes, for some things, it might take time. It might take longer than you expect. But we need to understand, we are not building something temporary. We're not praying for temporary revival. How many revivals we've seen, they would last 2-4 months and then you don't hear about them anymore. Another revival, another something like blows up in some state. Few months pass and like things are kind of quieting down and just things are kind of back to where they were. I was like, Lord, we don't want that. So we're actually praying for something that will never stop, that will never stop, and it will continue and continue and continue into the generations. So God, will you dedicate your life to pray and prophesy and intercess for something? Like he said, maybe some of things you will see, but some of them maybe you will not even see. Will you agree? Will you say yes to me? So I know the Lord is also calling some of you to this place of intercession to pray and to release certain things. And will you agree? Will you stop praying if you pray 5 years and you don't see things that He's shown you in the Spirit? Will you go pray for 20 years even if you still don't see things that you prayed for? When I was starting the life of like generals of faith of the previous generations and even previous century, do you know that some of them prayed and prophesied for things that they did not get to walk in? Only next generation stepped into the promises they'd been praying and releasing and intercessing. And some of them, even we are like walking in them for things that people just prayed like two generations ago. So, and God, like, I need those people who will not stop praying, who will not stop cultivating, who will not stop, who will not, you know, put their hands off from the plow. I need my faithful ones who will love me so much, whatever it takes, how long it takes, so my river can outburst. So the river of life, not just be transforming your personal life, your personal walk, but it will go out further. They're so sold out to me. They're so consecrated for me that I can use them any moment. You know what? Another thing that amazes me from the book of Acts, and I believe, and that one is coming. You know, like today in this, like in the modern church, everybody seeking after church positions. Everybody wants to have some kind of platform in church or to be in a ministry, to be known. And then I read a book of Acts, and Stephen, he never ceased to amaze me. Stephen, he had such simple position in church. He was helping to kind of feed the widows and just kind of give away food, like kind of food bank server, I would say. He was working for the food bank at the like First Apostolic Church. But then scripture says, but then people outside of the church, he was known for moving in the great miracles, resurrections, like crazy miracles. And it's interesting, it's like, how did he not promote it in the church for that? And he was still serving, you know, in food bank, giving out the food. He did not recognize by apostles. If this happened in our days, if like somebody would probably, we hear, oh, this guy, he comes to church, but then outside he's like resurrecting the dead, you know, and people's limbs are growing out. I can imagine this probably in our modern church, I'm talking not about this church, but they would probably drag him on a stage and they would create lines coming on him. So he will be well known. He would be all over YouTube, all over the social media, the new apostle raised up. But I just love the humility of the like the first apostolic church, because it was so normal to them. The lifestyle of supernatural was normal. Nobody was boasting because of that. It was accessible to the whole body, to the whole church. So I believe this is what's coming. It will be accessible to corporate church. Right now, we do see a glimpse here, a glimpse there. Maybe we read about this person, read about that person. But what's coming, it's gonna involve the whole body. It doesn't matter what position you have in church, but God is going to use you outside. Not everybody is called for the ministry inside of the church. I know some of you, and maybe you're just praying like, Lord, who am I in you? I feel like I'm so useless. Only come, and maybe I cannot, you know, grow into certain position. I don't get promoted. People don't notice me, or leaders don't notice me. They don't, you know, trust me with certain things, and you're just praying and praying. But maybe Lord has something else for you. Maybe the church position, it's not even your place where He's going to use you. Maybe He's preparing and seasoning for you for the, you know, crazy outbreaks on the streets. So I'm just encourage you, just get out of your box and don't think that the only way you can serve the Lord is, you know, just having some kind of position in church. I believe the harvest is coming so great, we are going to be overwhelmed with the harvest that is going to be. You know, when I was reading also, I'm almost done. I'm just really wrapping up here. When I was reading about history revivals and there's transformations that came in certain cities. And then there was one city in Colombia when revival came, And there's so many people who wanted to get into church, who wanted, you know, to get saved, and they wanted to belong, like, to the family of, you know, of Christians. The churches were overfilled with the, like, with the newcomers. Before, you know, pastors would steal members from each other, like what we see today. But when revival came in a city, the pastors start calling other pastors and asking, can you take some of my people because we're not fitting in my building? Can we please send this group of people to you because we cannot handle so much? So I know this is coming. This is when the Spirit of God, when His river, and we cannot control it anymore. So let's get up. I want to pray for this. Let's just release that. When we close our eyes, let's just prophesy. Let's just see His river coming. The river that Jesus promised. The river that's supposed to, like, outburst outside of us and start affecting and impacting things. So this is the place where you actually, when you get covered by the water, when you don't feel the bottom anymore, when you are, like, disattached from the earth, from the ground, this is when you don't belong anymore, and the Spirit of God, he does what He wants with you. This is where the depth of God comes, authority of God comes. This is when spirit realm recognizes you. This is where they recognize your name. Do you remember in Acts, the seven sons of high priest Sceva, what's his name in English, Sceva, when they tried to cast out demons, right, from the demon possessed men, and they started, like, in the name of Jesus that Paul was preaching, come out. And remember what demon said, like, I know who Paul is, I know who Jesus is, who are you? I don't know you. And they were just run, beaten up, humiliated, because their names were not registered in the Spirit. So God is taking you to this place. He's seasoning you. Do not ignore when He's pulling to spend extra time in prayer, extra time in reading Word. Even if you might not feel anything at this time, He's building you. He's preparing you for the outpour of His Spirit. And I know it's coming, guys. I know it's coming. We thank You, Jesus. Let's just thank Him. We thank You, Lord, for what's coming. We thank You for things that You have done, for things that You are doing, and things that You are about to do. Oh, we see the river flowing in such force that the move of God that we cannot control anymore. Lord, we're taking our hands away from Your move. We ask Your Spirit to move the way You are. We trust Your process. We trust Your timing. We trust You, Jesus. Right now, we are in the place of obedience, cultivating Your glory, cultivating the soil where You will be planting Your seeds, Lord. This is the season where we just have to be faithful. I feel like Lord is saying, this is the season you need to stay faithful. No matter what your eyes see, no matter if you have things answered or not, just stay faithful. Because the faithful ones, they will see reward. They will be partakers of His glory, partakers of His big plan. So we see this river overtaking. We see this river of life over, like, bursting out from us, bursting out from Your church, Lord, impacting, influencing, changing the surroundings, changing the atmosphere around us. This is the place when the river of God takes over. This is when the church starts affecting and impacting the region. This is where the principalities fall and they bound before the name of Jesus, when the river of life from the church starts bursting out beyond these walls, and it goes in the atmosphere, and it goes in the streets. And I see this coming, Lord, because we will not stop. We will not stay quiet. We will not be silenced by the deception of the enemy. We will not be silenced by the obstacles or any kind of hardships. We will not be silenced. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, take us deeper in you. Take us deeper until we let go of everything familiar, of everything that we've known before, until we don't feel the ground anymore, until we start living from the heavenly perspective, from the heaven throne room thinking, throne room mentality. Oh, I believe He is preparing, He's seasoning the generation that will be living into realities, just like in the days of Enoch. Because Jesus said that the last days will be just like in the days of Enoch. Even though you see the darkness rising up, but He's also rising up His children of light. Those who will have access, those who will be entrusted to the heavenly realms, to tap into the Spirit, to tap into the realm of God, to tap into the throne room of God, and take things from there and release them onto the earth. Oh, this generation is rising up. The supernatural will be their normal. It will be everyday lifestyle. Oh, we believe that it's coming. Do you see that? Do you see yourself in that? I know it's for you as well. Just stay faithful. Don't take your hands off the plow. Just keep cultivating, keep plowing, keep getting seasoned, keep drinking from Him, keep being filled up with His living water until it starts bursting out of you and starts resurrecting and reviving things around you. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the river without measure. This is where we're going. This is our goal, to step into the river without measure, when we don't control things anymore. Then we just submit to your flow, to your currency, and we just carry it away. Carry it away in your spirit, Lord. Yes, Lord.